I fucking hate starting shit. Christine, you're professional. Do it.
Oh, thank you, my darling. Hello, everybody. And today we have a really special guest again. Lance, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi. My name is Lance. I'm the artist of the book Souls of Syro. That's it.
Wow, what an intro. Thanks, Lance.
You're welcome.
You do more than just our cover. So just, you know, talk about your art. You have, I know, about your Instagram, your art, you know, what you like to draw.
Don't ask him that. Do not.
And it's not that it's not that much to talk about. I'm starting out, so everything's kind of new. But I mean, I am working on Christine's show and a couple of other commissions that are just really low key. So it's going, but it's not as big as I want it to be. Hopefully, I have more plans in the future. Yeah.
Well, you are extremely young. Like, how old are you right now?
I'm 15.
Yeah, I think you have a lot of time left.
Yeah.
You've already got a lot accomplished for a 15-year-old. God damn.
Yeah.
I was 15. Well, I was still wearing...
Don't say it.
It's not that bad.
What?
You were in prison? No, I'm
kidding. Yeah, I was in juvie. What was I doing at 15? Genuinely can't remember. Besides, no, I'm not going to say that on a podcast. I really wasn't doing a whole lot at 15.
Okay.
I guess I was reading like Draken and Figo smut.
Oh, good lord.
Mm-hmm. So you've already accomplished a lot more than I have.
Good to know.
I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Okay, change of topic. So your Instagram handle is Fingy the Demigod, which I hate that stupid finger, but can you go ahead and explain why you use Fingy as your thing of choice when it comes to showcasing yourself?
Well, you know, it all started off with me, like, taking inspiration from, like, webtoon artists, where this one webtoon artist had, like, a potato as their, like, mascot or whatever. I was like, that's really funny. That's kind of iconic. I want that. So I went on search. And then you, lovely manager of the book, like, you said, I have a talented finger. And... So I was like, you know what?
Let's not ever phrase it like that again.
Finger, because I used to draw with my finger. So I decided to use Fingy as my mascot.
That's still crazy. Because like the first cover for Souls of Syro, you drew that entirely with your finger, didn't you? That's insane.
But yeah, I was just on my phone and... At that time, my phone wasn't completely cracked and messed up, so it was a little bit easier, but I will say, getting the tablet was a big improvement, because, and you know, the canvas on the app I was using, it was so pixelated, so it's nice to have, like a nice thing to use, you know, not every artist gets that opportunity.
Yeah. What tablet do you have?
Something Samsung.
You know what?
Samsung Galaxy something. Samsung is great. I think it gets a bad rep because of Apple.
It does. It's like,
that's a really good reason for that. I'm sorry.
Boy, you Apple fangirl. I swear to God.
Hit me.
Not all of us can afford iPhones.
Okay, so I have a question now. Let's talk about Monkey Man, your D&D character.
I swear to God, I hate that more than Figgy.
talk about try to describe Monkey Man for the listeners and why, I guess.
All right, I'll try my best to describe him. So Monkey Man is a giant monkey who has a lot of muscles, you know, so much muscles, and for fun he likes to dress up in very feminine and sexy clothing. You know what? He doesn't do much other than that. He has no brain cells. He's just a buff monkey in like bikinis or lingerie.
Well, that was good asking that question, because that was not the answer I wanted to hear. I think, because how did Monkey Man start again? Because, you know, this might seem off topic to people listening, but if you go on this kid's art account, that goddamn monkey is everywhere. Like, it's the same as the finger. Like, he has these mascots, and these mascots make a lot of appearances. So you gotta try to understand how you came up with that and why you decided that, you know what, I am going to draw an ape in a bikini with erect nipples.
You know what? It stems from a lot of things. So one of the things being, I like to just draw the most stupid crap anyone could imagine. Why? I have no clue. When did this start? Probably in sixth grade. And you know what? I kept him around because he was fun to draw, and he's also great body anatomy practice. Like, that's weird to say because he's an ape, a monkey. But he does. He, like, you know, it's hard drawing buff men in different poses, so it's a good challenge for me, a fun challenge that makes people weirded out and laugh at the same time.
Well,
Lord. I mean, we will never forget that character. That's
exactly.
I think, exactly. Yeah, and that's really the special thing, I think, with your art, because especially the crazy things, like, people won't forget that. You know, just think about it, like, put Monkey Man or the finger painting on, like, on a big painting and then try to sell it. And maybe, you know, in a few years, somebody will see it and think, yeah, that's worth millions and millions of dollars because this is modern art.
You know what?
If I lie, I'm biased.
Yeah.
Like, you know
what?
Like,
what?
Hello?
Sorry. Continue.
What? You were answering a question.
Can somebody speak?
Oh my god. Sorry, I had a stroke. We'll move on.
It's alright. You know what?
Again.
You know what? I would be fine with this if I knew how, but I could go to, like, some type of convention, most likely an anime convention, because there's a bunch of weirdos there. Respectfully, because I am one of those weirdos. And I could definitely have a stand for my art, and I would probably get a couple people who bought it. Not gonna lie.
Probably. Like, that was my favorite part about, like, comic conventions and stuff, was, like, the kind of artist area with all the vendors and booths and everything. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I always had such cool, like, pins and stickers. Like,
you did.
Shit.
Yeah. Expensive, but they're really cool.
What's expensive, like, to host a booth there, or the stuff that they sell?
The stuff that they're selling. I mean, it's, like, a reasonable price because it's literally their art, but, like, it's expensive.
When you're, like, 16, like, that, you go and you're, like, I don't have $100. I wish I did. I'd buy it if I did, but I don't.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I always feel bad because I'm, like, I want to support you, but, yeah.
I miss comic conventions. I haven't been to one in so long.
Me neither.
I've never been to one in my whole life.
God, you're missing out. That's why we're gonna go cosplay.
Like, what are, like, the big ones, and where are they, kind of?
I'm pretty sure Comic-Con's the biggest one, and I'm pretty sure it's in San Diego. gonna call it Santiago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in San Diego every mm-hmm. year. So, like, you know, it's not bad for me and Lance to get to, but you might have some trouble.
Oh, I have a Comic-Con here yeah. in my city, so it's really not hard to get to Comic-Con, but...
What one do you have, like, the San Antonio Comic-Con?
It's somewhere around... I'm gonna say September, somewhere around there, because that's usually when all the conventions come around in my city. Yeah. But I don't know if it's the same. I'm pretty sure it's gonna get canceled because of COVID. Again.
I don't know. Like, America seems to be opening back up because they're already having, like, a rave in May in Vegas. Like, everyone's getting vaccinated and stuff. So, hopefully they'll be back. I doubt they'll be back for Canada, but hopefully for you no. at least.
I mean, it's a hit or miss because, you know, conventions are full of, like, weebs, and weebs are low-key nerds, so they believe in science. And hopefully... Yeah. If they believe in science, then they'll cancel. You know, like, I don't want it to open because there's, obviously, it's not a great time to open it. It would be nice yeah. to go again, but I'd really rather not get sick.
Yeah, like, you want to wait until, you know, it's, you're not going to go and get COVID. I'm trying to think of, like, because I know we wanted to talk about Lance, we wanted to talk to Lance about, like, you know, Art Block and,
uh-huh.
you know, oh. where he gets, like, motivation to, on stuff like that, so
oh, I guess Lord.
I pretty much just yeah. asked the question. So Lance, yeah. tell me, what is Art Block to you?
Art Block is when I fully prepare myself with tablet and pen in hand, sit down in a great quiet place, comfortable. And when I put my pen down, nothing comes out of it. Not literally, I mean, like, figuratively. Like, just nothing. You know, I can't think of anything special. Or, you know, when I do doodle, it's, like, the same face, and it's, like, just nothing. So, yeah, that's Art Block to me. I can't really describe it better.
Oof.
Yeah, that's right. It's a really good explanation, actually. I guess we're just gonna talk about it. Like, I have to say, it is really, really rare that I have an art block. I don't know why. But often for me, it's more that, you know, there are certain scenes I don't know how to write or what really happens in them, or they are complicated, or they would take, like, many hours to write, you know. So I mm-hmm. jump over the scenes, and then I just continue with next scene, which is, like, way easier. And mm-hmm. then I have to come back later and write, like, the scene I haven't done yet.
You think you're better than us or something?
No, shut up! I just want to talk about it. Well, then you can talk about it and say what you do when you have an art block, you know, and don't say you get yourself like an iced coffee.
What did you say to me? That is how I handle is how I handle writer's block. I'll sit there. I can't write. I'll be like, you know what? I've earned a treat and get myself an iced coffee. And then I won't write for another 3 weeks.
Good Lord. You know what? Me too.
Yeah, I thought about writing. That's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how Kristen does that. Like I can't do it. When I can't draw, like, I just can't draw. You know, I will just put away my tablet and try to do stuff that'll, like, inspire me later, so to say. You know?
Yeah. Like, I have so many ideas. I don't know how to start them, and that's the problem, is because you'll be like, I have it in my head, but putting it on paper or typing it or whatever the hell is just mm-hmm. excruciating. You're like, I truly don't. Or you get, like, part of it down, and then you're like, well, that's absolute shit. And then you delete it all and you give up and you go to bed. I've restarted this short film for like this competition like 10 times now. I can't do it because I'll be like, you know, I'll be on like page 5 and I'll be like, terrible. And then I just get rid of it. Like, it's just.
Okay, wait. So I have a question. Before you go to do like to write the script, do you do like a beat sheet?
Yeah, and like, but then I'll start. Okay. It's basically like you'll think it's such a good idea at the time, but then like when you go to work on it, you'll be like, "What in God's name was I thinking?" And then you just you're mad at yourself now. So you know, it's just it's terrible. You're like, "Okay, I'm gonna go pop my antidepressant and take a 3-hour nap." Like it's just.
You know, like how people like one idea like of in like in the beginning and then they hate it in the end. That's I don't understand. You know, for me it's like I like an idea or I don't like it, but then I don't really change my mind. You know, kind of. Then it's another like thing if I want to send it to competitions if I think okay, that's good enough. But hate, it's like, I don't know.
It's incredibly rare.
Yeah, I like to think about it like ingredients. Like, if you, like, think about something and you'd be like, you know what, that would be a great combination. And then, like, you know, you get up and you actually try it and it actually tastes like crap to you. Like, you just want to throw it away and, like, make a new recipe. Like, that's just how it is. Trial and error, but... I think the important part is that you try it again. Like, I definitely do that with my art.
You know, I relate heavily to Adam Driver and stuff on that, because, like, I guess, like, a homie will not watch anything that he's been in and refuses to. Like, if you try to play him, like, a clip of, like, something he acted in, like, he'll leave. And I feel that way about my writing, where it's, like, you'll read it a couple months later, even though, like, it's completed.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like... What was I doing? Like, you don't want to read it because you're like, wow, that's absolute garbage. So I refuse. Like, you keep it, like, unless you got to edit it or something, like, you just, it goes into the abyss and is submitted to things every once in a while.
Oh my god, I want, like, the producer who will work with you, he will have a lot of fun. He's like, okay, I really like the script. And you're like, no, it's shit.
Then I quit, asshole, because I hate myself.
Oh my god, that reminds me of that one scene in like White Chicks where that girl is in the dressing room and this
one Tina the talking tummy.
Exactly, like that is like, me too, honestly. Sometimes we have days like those.
I fucking love that movie.
Honestly, and you know what, there have been many times where, and this is like, it's painful for me, but I've learned how to do it without like crying, completely start from scratch. And you know, it builds patience, but it also builds my anger issues. So I had a drawing, oh, you know what, it was one of the covers, one of the last cover with the two, the two sides. Yeah, it wasn't going well, and I already had, like the whole sketch, and I was like, this is not it. So I texted Yon, we had that whole Zoom, and you know what, after that, I looked at it, and I was like, I'm gonna cry. Then I had to completely, like, I just went in, deleted every layer, one by one, and I was like, I'm gonna break down.
Jesus.
But like in the end, like it came out so much better, and the lighting that I did was like one of my best lighting. So I was like, you know what? I'm glad I started from scratch. So.
It's beautiful. The cover is so beautiful, and I think that's the same. Like the first draft is that I always had a hard time for that in the beginning when I started to learn screenwriting. It's still like. I always think my first draft, or I thought my first draft is perfect. Like, I went to the lessons, to the workshop, and I was like, there's nothing you can change, you know? Like, it's just perfect. Mm-hmm. But then you get the feedback, and then you realize, yeah, okay, it's maybe not that great. But, you know, after, like, you know, five versions, like, maybe, yeah, five, six, something like that, you really realize how much better it is. And then I'm also, like, at a point where I have one screenplay, one feature. I reworded it so many times, and I developed it for such a long time that now it's, like, the point where I don't change it anymore unless I get paid for it. But yeah, the first draft is sadly never good.
The first, that's something that I gotta, like, you know, realize too, is the first draft is, you know, there's obviously gonna be issues with it. And something that I usually struggle with first drafts is I'll get it down. It's like, I mainly write comedy. And so I'll get it all down and, you know, it'll get some laughs. It'll be funny. But then they'll be like, what's the theme? And I'll be like, oh, for fuck's sake. I wish I could tell you. And then you're like, oh my god, and that happened when I was doing my pilot. And so, you know, when we were in VFS and we did, like, the pilot classes, so pilot one, the first class, was, it was great. By the end of it, you had your pilot, like, the first draft, or, yeah, pretty much. That was cool, and then you took it into, and then we had a second pilot class, so, like, pilot two. And that one was really helpful because you got to, you know, see it. You got to take another look at it, like, a month later and see everything that you had to fix. That was, and so that really helped. But pilot three felt incredibly unnecessary because by that time you had been working on your pilot for, like, 3 months straight, like, almost every single day. And so when you got into it again and they were making you look at it, you basically started changing too much because you were, like, microanalyzing everything. And by the end, it was like you kind of lost that original thing that you had going for the story, and you just nitpicked everything, and it just seemed like way too much overkill. And, you know, it kind of, yeah, like, I didn't vibe with that. So I kind of feel how you are with your movie right now, where you're like, I have edited this so many times that if I edit it again, I'm just going to end up screwing it up. And so it's kind of like, you know, when you're plucking your eyebrows or something. And if you go too far, you've gone too fucking far, and now you're missing half your eyebrow. So I feel that way about, like, editing things, is once you go too far, now you're like, oh, god damn it, I, you know, I lost what I was originally going for with this, and now I don't know how to get it back, and I've just completely screwed this up, and it just sucks at that point. So, yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, you know what? It's a struggle, you know, when you're in some type of entertainment field and, you know, you want to do something for yourself, but you also have to get it, like, out there. It's like, good lord, like, where is the compromise that I'm looking for? And... And you know what? The way I've been doing it lately is just, like, the first draft, so generalized. Say, like, it was, like, a sketch, right? Like, I would literally just draw circles and squares and just map it out, whatever, right? And then, simple sketch, that's it. And then, you know, just send it out. Be like, hey, what can I do now? And... you know, by the time that I, like, keep doing drafts and drafts and drafts until it gets to the end point, I'm, like, picking things up on the way. You know? Like, I'll watch a movie in between me fixing up the sketch. So I'll be like, you know what? This movie has inspired me to put this in there. So, and, you know, in the end point, it just becomes a myriad of different inspirations that it's like, well, now I can talk about this endlessly. For me, it's a whole adventure. It is tiring, but I think in the end, when you do get to that one point where you're like, this is actually pretty good, I think it's just kind of rewarding.
Yeah, like, the tip is, I guess, like, never stop. Like, never stop just because, you know, like, sometimes you can stop for the day because you're just tired of it, but you have to, you know, get back to it the next day and, you know, just do it all over again, but it will be better with time.
Yeah. Lord, how long have we been doing this for?
Well, too long. An hour. God's sake.
Okay, well, So I don't think we have time to do the script writing thing. We can do that on another episode. We'll bring this kid back.
Yeah, we do that.
I get a sequel.
No.
A sequel. Yeah.
Period. Everyone wants more of this guy.
That's a damn lie.
Oh, don't
these are the episodes
me.
People skip. Thank you for being on the show, Lance.
What a pleasure.
Shut up. But anyway, we'll see you in the sequel. I don't know why I said it like that. That's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Let me take over, please.
Good Lord.